Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're continuing on in the book of Ephesians. I started out with chapter 6, then I went to chapter 1, and today will be chapter 2. And in this chapter, it's talking about how God has reconciled the Jews and the Gentiles together in one body by the Holy Spirit to the faithful, the people that obey the Lord's word. So that there's no difference. It's a new nation. This Holy Spirit that Paul is talking about is the same one that we live by, because the Holy Spirit is our life. And that the Lord has already planned it out so that he can know who the faithful people are, that and the ones can't get into the kingdom of heaven without a renewal of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And that renewal happens when we read the Word of God and obey it. So a lot of people think they're so slick that they're going to outwit God. But God has many safeguards in his plan to weed the chaff out of the wheat and the goats out of his flock. And the main one is that the ones that are his, the sheep, the wheat, will renew the Holy Spirit in their bodies, which is his body, on a daily basis. The Lord states that all those who are in his word are his children. We are begotten to the Lord by the word of God, by the preaching of the word. And by faith we're saved. If we are not doing as the Lord says, if we're not going to be his disciples by reading and keeping the word, he says, if you are my disciples, amen? Well, then we're not the sons and daughters of God. So you weed yourself out by not obeying the Lord. Let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless this service. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, for we're able to boldly go before you to your throne, because of the blood of Jesus, and because we communicate to you and you to us through your Holy Spirit, through your word. Your word is spirit and it is life. Lord, we ask, because you said if we ask, we shall receive, that you'll open every heart today to receive the message that you've had for us from the very foundation of the world. Anyone that doesn't do what you say every day, they've lost today. And this is the Lord's day, the children of the Lord will say. It is a horrible thing to waste a day doing that which you have wanted for us to do and had planned for us to do from before the foundation of the world. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Renew us today in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's begin reading.
And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Okay, read what I see. What I'm doing is like I do the King James Version, then I put a little explanation for the things that the King James is saying so that maybe you'll understand what the King James Version is saying better. You'll understand better. Okay, so now read what I said.
What chapter 2 of Ephesians is saying is that once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins.
Keep going.
You used to live in your death exactly like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, who is the mighty prince of the power of the air.
Okay, so the Bible says that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, but mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the power of God is his spirit. So read that again. I mean, I want that God wants His Word to be understood and to be received into the heart. And how can you receive into your heart what the Word is saying if you don't know what the Word is saying? Amen?
Amen.
So I want to make it clear, perfectly clear. All right? Then go ahead.
What chapter 2 of Ephesians is saying is that once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins.
Right. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. We were doomed because of our many sins. Okay, then what?
You used to live in your death exactly like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, who is the mighty prince of the power of the air.
Okay, now, the Lord saved us from our sins. He forgave all of our old sins so that we'd walk in the Spirit, in truth, in His life. And if you think that you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven and you're still walking exactly like the Gentiles do, like the unsaved people of the world do, exactly like them, well then how is it that you can believe that you're saved? Or if you're bored with the Word of God, which is life, then most certainly you're dead, still dead in your sins. And you're exactly like the people of the world. They don't want to take the time to read about life. To them, reading the Bible is death. But the Bible speaks about death, but it talks about the people who are dead are the ones that are not loving the Word of God and renewing themselves with it on a daily basis. So, you know, people say, I don't want to hear about the Lord. Life scares them. They are children of darkness, that they love the wages of sin, because sin or death to them is what they love. They enjoy it. They're familiar with it, and they don't want to get away from anything that they're familiar with. They don't want to delve into life. So read it again, so maybe you'll understand it a little better.
You used to live in your death exactly like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying sin.
No. Start from the beginning, please.
What chapter 2 of Ephesians is saying is that once you were dead, doomed forever.
Yeah, once you're dead and doomed forever because of your many sins. Now, are you sinning today? Well, surely if you're sinning today, and you shake your head and say no, but if you are sinning today, you're dead. Because the soul that sins shall surely die. They're dead. Okay, so what good is it for you to be in the house of the Lord, or say you're a Christian and that you're not a sinner, if you really are? Are you keeping all the commandments of the Lord? What is sin but the transgression of God's law, His Word? That's what sin is. So are you just following the Lord in meticulously in everything that He says to do? Are you a witness for the Lord? Have you been reconciled to the Lord? The Lord God Almighty, through Christ Jesus? Are you covered in the blood? Is your soul sinless? When you say, well, I have confessions to make because I've let Satan run rampant in the church, you're a sinner. Because the Lord said you're supposed to hate Satan, and if you're not reporting him, well, then that means you love him. You're supposed to love the Lord and to protect the house of God. God gave the Garden of Eden to Adam to guard, to not let any intruders come in. And you, if you're of the Lord, you're not to let any intrusions come in, anything that's foreign to the Word of God, to be happening in the church. Because if you just continue doing that, because of your many sins, you're dead. Twice plucked you, twice dead. You were dead in your sins and trespasses, and then the Lord saved you. Because of your many sins, you were saved through the blood of Jesus and by faith. Not of anything good that you've ever done, because especially if you're allowing Satan to run rampant in the church, you're not doing anything that's good. You are a protector of Satan, a servant of Satan. Oh, well, I just want to unload all my confession. Well, why? Is it that because you didn't realize that if you sin, that you're going to go to hell or to the lake of fire? Is that why? That you just don't believe the Word of God? Let me remind you that you're saved. All of us are saved by faith in the Word of God. Now, He says you must hate Satan and love the Lord, or hate the Lord and love Satan. There's no in-between. You're not going to walk on both sides of the fence anymore, are you? Because you can't. You have to choose one master or the other. Now, isn't the book of Ephesians wonderful?
Amen.
I think so. I love it. Okay, then what?
You used to live in your death exactly like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying...
See, because it says live in King James, the way you lived, the Bible says that you were dead. Okay, so how could you be living? Okay, so I say you are living in your death. You know, your body was alive, but it wasn't... You were not regenerated. You didn't have everlasting life. Everlasting life is continued by obeying the Lord, by renewing the Spirit in you, which is the Word, daily, and walking in the Word daily. Amen?
Amen.
Now do you understand the first verse a little bit better?
Yes.
Good, because it's no good to just read it like hickory dickory dock, is it?
No.
Okay, then what?
You used to live in your death exactly like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, who is the mighty prince of the power of the air.
Right, and the Bible says it is mighty powers. It says mighty powers that is in the, you know, strongholds, mighty strongholds, that we can pull down these mighty strongholds. We can pull Satan down and tread him underfoot. Only if we are renewed in the Holy Spirit, because not by power or might, our might or power or flesh, but by our spirit. There isn't any good thing that we could do to be saved. It was the gift of God through His Son, Christ Jesus. Okay? And so the only thing that we can do to have salvation is to have faith. And we prove our faith by doing what the Lord says, what the Word says. The Lord is the Word. The Word is God. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Spiritually, it does make sense. It is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Right, then what?
He is the Spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God.
Right. Satan, his spirit, is the one who what? Read it.
That he is the Spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God.
Right, so if you're not obeying the Word of God, then it's Satan in your heart. And you're refusing to obey God. That's what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Satan is working you and at work in you. This is what the first part of chapter 2 of Ephesians says. You're dead in your sin. You're like, with your many sins, you were dead, and you're dead now. There's no work of God in you. Because Satan is busy at work in the hearts of those that refuse to obey the Lord. He's in your heart. It's not in your heart to just be zealous to fight the good fight of faith, to come against every evil thing and pull down the strongholds that are trying to set up inside this church and in the world. But if you can't do it in your own home and the people that live around you, then how could you do it in the church? And if you can't do it in the church, how are you going to do it in your community? How are you going to serve God in your community? If you can't in your community, how your state or the whole United States or other continents? You can't. You have to start. It has to start out in your heart, right here. The power of God, the Word, has to be alive and working in you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature.
Okay, now read it from the King James. But see, if you're just passionate about, I don't want to get involved with people that, if I bring a report on them, they're just going to make me depressed, and I'm just such a homosexual or lesbian, and I just can't do it, you know, like some wimp. That testimony doesn't belong in the church, okay? Because the Lord is mighty in pulling down strongholds of this satanic nothing piece of garbage. When I hear about it, I'll throw them out if I ever hear anybody persecuting somebody for reporting them. You've seen me do it in the past, so don't be afraid, because the fearful and unbelieving to keep God's commandments will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Doesn't the Bible say that?
Yes.
Well, you're saved by faith. Why don't you believe it? If you believed it, you'd be reporting every evil thing that's going on. I just don't want to get into it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing Satan speaking out of some of your mouths. Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
See? And disobedience, those who refuse to obey God. What is disobedience but refusal to obey? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Disobedience is the same as witchcraft. And so definitely, if you're a witch, if you're not reporting Satan in the church, then you're disobedient to God and you're a witch. And so Satan is busy at work in you. Now, are you so righteous? I mean, some of you people, no, you're not. I'm not the type of a minister that's going to commend people when I can easily see that Satan is busy at work in you. You're not concerned about a clean temple for the Lord to live in. The Lord will not live in a disobedient person's body. Our bodies are supposed to be the temple of the Lord. And we're all built up in Christ, the Bible says, as a holy temple for God to dwell in. God's not going to dwell in people that are, I just can't, I'm so, such a homosexual or such a stinking lesbian, such a devil-possessed person that I can't report Satan because I'm afraid I'll get attacked. Do you think I'm afraid to get attacked?
No,
and why? Because I believe the Word of God. I have faith in the Word of God that says, if I was, then I'd spend eternity with you who are afraid of Satan. I don't want to spend eternity with you or with your master, the devil. And if you don't like that, well, lump it. Okay, then what?
Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Yeah, read what I said there.
All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature and were under God's anger, just like everyone else.
Just like the entire world. Then what?
But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so very much, that even while we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead.
Right, so He gave you an opportunity, saying, we're dead in our sins and trespasses. We're dead and we're on our way to hell. But God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit so that we could live a sinless life. Because the Word tells us that he that sinneth is of the devil. In other words, he that is a disobedient to the Word of God and doesn't tank up with the Word of God on a daily basis. So that you can, I used to, when I was a baby Christian and young in the Lord, I used to tell everybody, if the Word is God, it's just like drinking a glass of milk. When you pour yourself out of the Spirit of the Lord, all the things that you read today are something that you can pass on to others. And at the end of the day, your tank, you're out of the Spirit. You've got to re-tank up for the defense of the gospel, because we're called and we're armored, we're to be armored so that we can fight. The Lord never called us to be to a party or to be comfortable. He called us to fight against Satan. And if you've lost sight of that, well then Satan uses you at will. You're of no value. You're chaff. Chaff is of no value. You've gone back to being into your many sins. Only now the problem is it's even worse now. There's a worse condemnation for you because you know that God says these things and you still don't care. And you say, are you sinners? And they shake their head, no, we're not sinners. Where's the revival then? So you have to pour yourself. So you have to tank back up with the Word of God after you pour yourself out. Because after I poured myself out yesterday, all day yesterday, when I get up this morning, I have to tank back up again so I can pour myself, the Lord's Spirit, out today. What I'm pouring out to you now is what I got from the Lord this morning. Okay?
Yeah.
It's not there if I don't get up and tank up. And it's for sure it's not in you either if you don't get up and tank up. And you can't rely on my message to tank you up. You are required by the Lord to tank yourself up, okay? Because if you're a viable member of the corporate body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the members can die. Just like you can get a cancer in your arm or your heart or your lungs or your brain or your liver or your breast or your foot or someplace. The rest of you is alive, but there's something in you that's killing you. A little leaven, a little sin, kills the whole body. A little cancer kills the whole body. Susie had breast cancer, and it killed her whole body. We have to be totally free, without spot or blemish, from the devil, from sin. Amen?
Amen.
So don't say, well, you just have got your idea of what sin is. But you don't relate to the Word of God at all. In other words, you're not one with the Word in accordance with God's Word that says disobedience is what caused all of us to have to die and be sent to hell. And it caused Christ to have to come into the world to have to die too. One man's disobedience, all have fallen. Okay? And your disobedience is no testimony to the Lord. If you're not working, if the Lord is not working in you daily, then you're nothing. And He can't be working in you unless you put Him in you every day by the Word. Is that understandable?
Yes.
Isn't the book of Ephesians nice?
Yes.
And wonderful? Because it's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm not just preaching from the book of Ephesians here. I'm pulling from a lot of other places in the Bible. Even from the Garden of Eden. In Genesis. Okay, go ahead.
It is only by God's mercy, by giving us His power, so we could be saved.
Okay, so He gives us His power. Now, the false religions say we're saved by undeserved favor, the grace of God. The grace of God is not undeserved favor. The Lord gives us, it's by His mercy, not undeserved favor. It is not undeserved favor. We deserve to go to hell, but the Lord, for those that will do what He says, they deserve salvation, all right? The Lord says so. And it's not some kind of favor that He's given to a bunch of sinners that have no thought or no desire to fill up with Him every day so that they can be strong and serve Him and reprove and rebuke Satan, or to report Satan at least. Some people put reports and say, well, I'm not putting my name to this. And they think that they're not going to hell and the lake of fire. Well, they live by their own ideas, their own doctrine. The doctrine of the Lord says they are going to the lake of fire. Unless they repent, they're going to hell. And the lake of fire. Doesn't it?
Yes.
They're fearful. Pukes, you know. And then what? Okay, now read from the Bible that far.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us.
His great mercy. Yeah, then what?
Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ.
It doesn't say undeserved favor, does it? No. It says He gave us His life-giving Spirit. Right?
Yes.
Quickened us unto Christ, through Christ. Unto Christ. And unto God through Christ. Okay, then what?
By grace ye are saved.
By God's power you are saved. By His plan, His power. Not by undeserved favor. What is that supposed to mean, undeserved favor? Well, if I was undeserving, I would think, you know, if that's what I would believe, well, then I would say, well, I don't have to deserve anything now. I can just keep sinning. I heard Hagee on television saying God just was just sobbed. He was just following Adolf Hitler until he died, and just that he sobbed when Adolf Hitler died. That isn't at all what Christ, that God is like. Well, unrepentant sinners God hates, all right? He even hated, I never heard of Esau doing the atrocities that Hitler did, but God says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Okay? So do you think that God is going to sob over someone that he hates?
No.
Do you think God sobs over the devil?
No.
I don't sob over him either. I fight him. The Lord never called me to sob over Satan, but he called me to fight him. Okay?
Amen.
And a weakness! I can't stand it. It's because people just think they're going to get into the kingdom of heaven by not doing anything. Right? We're saved by the power of God, but after we're saved, then he expects us to keep his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't expect us to lay back into the cesspool that you were pulled out of and come up with your own doctrine in the house of God unless you expect to get kicked out, because God has got a man here on earth that will kick you out if you're going to start making up some false doctrine in this church. And there are demonic people in here. And if they keep this going, they're gone. They'll be gone. They're history. Two of them I just took down to the streets in Los Angeles yesterday. Who were they?
Cynthia Reed and Antavia.
Cynthia Reed and Antavia. They're now living in a wino's mission. I don't care where if they want to go there, on the streets or a mission or whatever, fine, but they're not going to be here. Okay, so I showed mercy. I decided to throw them out and put them down at that mission. Wino mission. The mother... What's her name?
Cynthia.
Cynthia likes to abuse her children. We cannot have child abusers in this church. Okay? If you think we can, then you go down to that mission too, or some other mission. Get out. Number two, Antavia thinks that she can bite big holes in her husband and throw things around the place and do all these unruly things, and she's been told over and over again, this is not for unruly people. This church. She has to. I've measured her with the Word of God. So you may say, well, the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. That means don't be judging with your own judgment. And if you want to look at it another way, I'm not judging them. I'm just a fruit inspector. Right? I inspect the fruit. The Lord tells us to make sure that your fruit is good. Amen?
Amen.
Good fruit? So if you look at them, you see they're rotten. What do you do with rotten fruit? Do you keep it in your refrigerator?
No.
What do you do with it?
Throw it out.
Okay, so you said it. So should I follow your advice of throwing out the bad fruit? I'm a fruit inspector, right? And you're supposed to be the same way. Okay? So you might call that judging. But we're judging according with God's Word. Not our own judgment. Anyone that thinks any other way is like using their own judgment. Then what?
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Okay, now read what I said there.
For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are seated with him in the heavenly realm.
Keep going.
All because we are one with Christ Jesus.
All because we became one in Christ Jesus, because we become one by believing his word. Like if you disbelieve his word, that means you're not going to do it. You're going to say, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm going to do what I want to do. rather than what the leader of the church tells us what to do according to the Word of God. Well, that means you went too far. You painted yourself out of the church. Amen?
Amen.
Read that again. Read that.
He raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are seated with him in the heavenly realm, all because we are one with Christ Jesus.
Okay, but if you're not, you're one in accord with his word. Well, we see the devil, but I don't care what Jesus says. I'm not going to tangle up with these people. Like a wispy homosexual. You're going to have your own rotten doctrine. Not here. There isn't a lighthouse that I know of like this in the world. And you've done this quite a bit, and now the Lord is putting his foot down. It's over with. Now repent or perish. Get into the Lord or get out. Then what?
And so God can, if we are followers of God's word, always point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his blessings and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us through Christ Jesus.
Right, he's given us the Holy Spirit, which is also a seal. Just like an official in the government puts a seal that this is a genuine document. Amen? Well, then when the Lord seals you with the Holy Spirit and you continue being sealed by the Holy Spirit by you eating and drinking the Word of God daily, so that the seal of the Holy Spirit is still on you, that they, in other words, people can know you're a genuine document from the Lord. Because you have no genuineness if you don't have the seal of God, the Holy Spirit, in you daily. Do you understand?
Yes.
I wrote that at the end of the message here where I got the squiggle.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, read that.
God's plan for our salvation is continued by the sealing work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, he continues us by the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to seal us daily. It isn't, you see. People say that, oh, we prayed somebody through today. And I says, well, where are they? They got saved. They did? Where are they then? I know that Matthew and all these disciples that Jesus called, they got saved because they dropped their nets and came with the Lord. Huh? But where are these? They didn't get saved. They said, they thought they were reciting a poem when they said the sinner's prayer. And then you teach the people that come in, the baby Christians, that this is that they got saved if they say a poem or they say a prayer to the Lord. No. If they mean that prayer, then they come and serve the Lord. And not according to their will or their doctrine, but according to the doctrine of the Lord, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So read it again.
God's plan for salvation is continued by the sealing work of the Holy Spirit as an official mark, a document as being genuine. So also a servant of the Lord is deemed to be genuine.
Well, I'm saying like an official in the government. When the president sends you something with his seal on it, you know that this is a genuine document from the president, right? Well, there's someone much higher than the president. The president, if he's not saved, and I don't believe he is, because he did the seal of his obeying what the Lord tells people that are sealed by the Holy Spirit, is not found in him. He likes to declare war. He doesn't get the entire nation together like the people of Nineveh under the preaching of Jonah to pray to the Lord to stop the war, or a fictitious war that possibly that this administration caused. They caught this Saddam Hussein. They say, Saddam Hussein, I read his website before he ever the war ever started, and he says, we have no weapons of mass destruction. The United States is the one that has the most incredible arsenal of mass destruction, and now Saddam Hussein was telling the truth. And Bush, our administration, was lying, because We, to this day, have not found any weapons of mass destruction over there. All right? So, you see, I don't believe in our administration that they are of the Lord. Even though he stands up and they get him all powdered up and comb his hair real good and he stands there, they get the camera real close in his face and he says, I believe in God. Yeah, but what God? His God is the devil, okay? His God is my devil. All right? So Saddam Hussein said the right thing. He says, there's no weapons of mass destruction over here. And they just caught him and he's still saying the same thing. And why doesn't, he's a murderer, he's a this, he's like a Hitler. That's what they said about me. They were saying that about me for years. That's what they said about Jesus. That's what they said about the Apostle Paul. And if you were of the Lord, that's what they'd be saying about you. Because Jesus said they would. The Word says so. Okay? And you can't get any better than the Word of God, can you?
No.
No. I've told everybody in the world through my literature what's going on, what the administration is doing. They did it in Germany. They're doing it here. They're doing it at the World Trade Center. We know what that's all about. They want to get everybody under martial law so that they can just finally move into everybody's house. This is not the Lord. George W. Bush and the whole administration is not of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. They show no manifestation of that whatsoever. And the Lord says to honor all men. I can't think of any other way to honor them better than rebuking and reproving them. That's an honor that I'm giving to them. All right?
Amen.
Tom, you think you're unseen. And the majority of the people of the world are blind and are in a ditch. But you are dealing with somebody that is not blind now. I see you. I see what you're doing, what your whole administration is doing. I see that you're led by Rome. And Rome is led by Satan. Now, we're not fighting people. The Bible says that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, against people. But what we're fighting is the devil that has a hold of these people that is causing them to do the devil's work. Not only out in the world, but in this church as well, there are people in here that are doing Satan's work. They refuse to obey the Lord. And so they're not part of the body of Christ. The mystical body of Christ is only observed by those that know the Word. The devils, the people that really don't serve the Lord, they stick out like sore thumbs. They just go through a routine. They're boring people. They're so boring that they, it's hard to even be around them to stay awake because they bore me to death. There's no fire spirit of God in them. They're dead. Twice dead. Twice plucked up trees that don't bring forth fruit. They were dead once in their sins and trespasses. They got saved and then they went and fell away again. They died. Dead. Then what? Okay, now read up to that point in the King James.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace.
In us, by the seal of the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Yeah.
Then what?
In his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
He's shown it to the world that we have the Holy Spirit. We tread down upon Satan and we pull down his strongholds. How do we do that? Well, none other than the Spirit, the Word. Huh? Okay, if you refuse to read the Word and to tank up with the Word every day, how are you going to pull down? You can't even hardly get out of bed, some of you people, because you don't have the power of God in you to get out of bed. Well, our alarm clock didn't go off, or I didn't hear the alarm. Get up! Okay, what else?
For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Yes. By the power of God you're saved. He gives you the power of God to be saved, his power to be saved if you believe the word, if you do what he says. If you don't believe it, then you're not doing it. If you believed it, then why aren't you doing it? Like, it's faith that you're saved in Jesus. Jesus is the word. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, wake up, sleeping dogs. Then what?
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Let any man brag about it. Okay, read what I got to that point.
God saved you by grace, his mighty power, only because you believed his word and believed you must do what his word commands.
Right, so that explains it a little better?
Yeah.
All right, then what? But that's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not preaching some message about... This is the word of God we're reading from right here, all right?
Yeah.
Then what else?
We are not able to take credit for this. It is a gift for believing from God.
For our faith, our believing in the word of God, and he knows that we believe it if we do it. He has no other measurement to test to see whether you believe it, is other than to see if you're performing the way he wants, if you're letting him work in you and through you. Okay, then what?
Salvation is not a reward for any good things we have done, so not one of us can boast, brag about anything like that.
That we earned our salvation, the initial salvation. Initially, we can do nothing but just pray to God and then just say, yes, Lord, we're coming, we're going to come and follow you. I mean, follow your word, do what your word says. He says, come and follow me, deny thyself. Well, but you're saying, I just don't want to get tangled. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to deny what you feel like and do what the Lord says. Doesn't he? Is that what you're supposed to do?
Yes.
Okay, well, don't say you believe then and that you have faith and that you're a Christian if you are full of this corruption of thought. Your mind isn't on the Lord's word. I would call you scum, the Lord calls you chaff. Then what? Same thing. Scum is something you throw out, chaff is something you throw out, right?
Yeah.
Anybody save chaff?
No.
You don't save scum either. The Lord says it spits you out of his mouth. Some people call peanuts goobers, but then there's another word for goobers too. That's where you hawk a goober and spit it out. Phlegm, sputum. Well, the Lord says he'll spit you out like a hawk, that you would hawk a goober and throw it up, spit it out on the ground like some phlegm or sputum from yourself. Do you think that God is going to sob over sputum that he spits out?
No.
No. That includes you if you don't get busy. Okay, then what?
For we are God's masterpiece.
Okay, now, yes. We're like a masterpiece, and he wants to show us off by showing all of his great mercy towards us and everything to the rest of the world, that we have power over sin, Satan, the world, our flesh, everything, because we believe. We have power over the devil. The devil says, you don't have power over me. Well, that's what they say, and I throw them out. That means I got power over them, doesn't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, that's one sign of my power over them. Same thing with Doug Christopher. He wanted to send baby Christians here and there, like he was operating his own style of church within my church, the body of Christ, which is the church I belong to. He says, you see that, right? And I says, yes, Lord, I see that. And he says, well, what are you going to do about it? You going to let him operate a different kind of a church in your church? And I says, no, Lord. He says, get him out of here. So I just picked up the phone and obeyed the Lord. And some people says, well, I feel sorry for him. Well, you better be quiet, because I'll put you out too for feeling sorry for the devil. Okay? You better shut your filthy mouth. because I don't feel, Lord doesn't feel sorry for the devil, and I don't either. Okay? Nobody asked you for your opinion. This church operates by the Holy Spirit, the Word. Then what?
For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago.
Yeah, He planned for us to do good things, the things that He did. Did He let the devil operate in the church?
No.
What did He do to stop it?
Beat him out and threw the...
He beat him out. I wasn't near him to beat him out of the church, but it wasn't necessary. All I did is picked up the phone. Today we have modern facilities, right? Telephones and automobiles. Get him out. Okay, now read the King James up to that point.
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Yeah, so we created in Christ. To do good work, right?
Yes.
Is that good work to let the devil set up inside the church and start running it?
No.
Well, I'll just call the shots. No one appointed you to run this church. God appointed me to run it. But over and above me, He appointed the Holy Spirit to do it, all right? If you're operating in the Holy Spirit, don't you think I'll know it?
Yes.
Right. So I wouldn't have anything to say to you if you were boldly doing what the Holy Spirit said. Do you think I would punish you? If I did, then God would throw me out of the church. Right? Okay, then what?
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Yeah, we are a masterpiece made by Him. Amen?
Amen.
People call some of my tracts masterpieces. Well, for God's sake, then Christ, we're His. That's the real masterpiece, those of us that keep the commandments. Because people see that and they are shaken to the core. They can see when somebody's not like the world. Do you think they can see if somebody's not like the world?
Yes.
Now they may call you crazy because you're not like them and running to excess and riot like they do. But to hell with them, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Away with you. To hell with you. Then what?
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
What is good works? To obey the Lord, the Word. How are you going to know and remember all the things that the Lord says if you don't delve into the Word every day? Huh? Because your pea-picking little brain, as Tennessee Ernie Ford used to call it, all your little, bless your little pea-picking hearts. I guess he used to work in a pea-picking factory where he would go out in the fields and pick green peas. How are you going to show the world that you're of the Lord? Then what?
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yeah, the Lord said that we're supposed to walk in this Word. Amen?
Amen.
Why do we preach the Word if you're not supposed to? Well, now, the Lord said, those Pharisees, they knew the Word. I mean, they knew it better than them disciples did. They knew it better than the wise men did. They're the ones that told the wise men. They went and inquired of the wise men in Herod's court there about the location of where Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be born. And the Pharisees knew it. And then the wise men learned that from these Pharisees that were in Herod's castle or temple there. But the people that knew the scriptures didn't go, they weren't saying, oh, the King of Glory is born. They didn't go see Him. They didn't want to see Him. They just wanted knowledge in their head knowledge. But the wise men that didn't know the scriptures as good as the Pharisees did, they wanted to know the Lord. They wanted to see Him. They wanted to fellowship with Him. And those that are really of the Lord want to know the Word. They want to know God. God is the Word. And the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, and it is our life. The Holy Spirit is our life. It's the breath of God. And we need to breathe it every day. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise.
Okay, so read what I said, so that you can maybe understand it from two different versions.
Being one with Christ to have peace. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders by birth. You were called the uncircumcised ones by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision.
Yeah, all they do is brag about what happened in their flesh. And that's what Gentiles do, is they brag about, I know the Bible. But let me see you keep what the Bible says. Otherwise, you're a phony as the Pharisees. Lord says, how can you enter heaven? You're children of the devil. Then what?
You were called the uncircumcised ones by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it only affected their bodies, not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and you did not know the promises God had made to them.
No, they didn't know what the Gentiles didn't know what the promises that were made to the Jews. Our Messiah book tells of those promises. Amen?
Amen.
That a virgin shall conceive. Amen?
Amen.
But these Gentiles didn't know that. They have to be preached to. They have to see the witness, the seal of the Holy Spirit, so that people will know you're a genuine article, a genuine man or woman from God, sealed, approved by the Holy Spirit. Now, some people say, well, sealed means that we can never be lost. No, sealed means that you are tanking up every day, you're sealed, you're approved by the Lord every day, because you tank up and you're doing what He says. If you're not, you're certainly not excluded from hell. As a matter of fact, there's a hotter place for you. Then what? Okay, go ahead.
That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world.
Okay, now read what I said.
In those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and you did not know the promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope.
Yeah, hope comes when you're being sealed with the Lord every day. But the Holy Spirit, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit every day by reading and tanking up every day with the Spirit. Then you have great hope, because you feel the power every day in you, okay? You have the hope that the promises, all the promises are true, because you see the Spirit working mightily in you just to stand, doing all to stand. You know, put on the whole armor of God type thing. Amen?
Amen.
Doing everything you can to stand. That means just drench yourself in the Word of God. Immerse yourself into it. Into the Holy Spirit. Then what?
But now you belong to Christ Jesus. Though you once were far away from God, now you have been brought to Him, brought near to Him because of the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has made peace between us. For Christ Himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people.
Right. At one time, the Jews and the Gentiles were at each other's throats. Right? The Lord, they wouldn't even allow him to talk to him, right? But the Lord now made us one. It reconciled the Jews and Gentiles together as one body in Christ, his body, to be the body of Christ, but only to those that obey his word. Okay, now read it from the King James.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle...
He made both Jew and Gentile just one body. That's what it's saying. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Between Jews and Gentiles. Now we're one body. We're a new nation. There's no separation now between believers that are Jews and Gentiles. We mingle together now because we're all the same nationality. Right?
Right.
That's what it's saying. Then what?
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity.
The fight we used to have, the Jews and Gentiles. Then what?
Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Now the ordinances, okay. Okay, now read what I said.
He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By his death, he ended the whole system of Jewish law.
See, not the law, but just the system of Jewish law where we can't talk to Gentiles. Right? Well, we're not to fellowship with them unless they accept the Lord. Right?
Right.
We can witness to them, but that's about it. Right? So the ordinances of... some people say, well, God ended the law there. No, it says the Jewish ordinances of the hostility against the Gentiles. That's the only ordinances that are now done away with. All right? So read it again.
By his death, he ended the whole system of Jewish law.
See,
part of the law that excluded the Gentiles.
Because it just said that it's only to the Jews. I'm the God of the Jews. Amen?
Amen.
So that ordinance is done away with. But certainly not the law, my God. The Ten Commandments that God wrote with his own finger. And all the other laws in the Bible. You didn't understand that, did you? Huh?
No.
Did you?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what it means. Then what?
His purpose to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new person from the two groups, together as one body.
That because Christ was raised from the dead, he was able to raise them from the dead too. Okay, we go ahead.
Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death. And the hostility we had toward each other was put to death.
Yeah. His death put all that hostility away, right? Then what?
He has brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and to us Jews who were near. Now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us.
Okay, read up to that point. In King James.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity.
By his death on the cross, right?
Yes.
By slaying the enmity, then what?
Having slain the enmity thereby.
The hostility. Yeah, that's just the Jewish ordinances. Okay, now, then what?
And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh.
No, the Jews were nigh and the Gentiles were far off. Right? They hadn't had one hope in the world until Jesus gave them that hope by the reconciliation of the Jews and Gentiles into one body, Christ, by his death. And then they're saved by his blood and the resurrection. Amen? Then what?
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
It has to be one Spirit. It can't be your doctrine, which is Satan's spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord, which is the doctrine of the Bible. Then what?
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built
upon... So you belong to God's family now. Amen?
Amen.
You Gentiles. You're Italians, Irish, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Germans. Well, you get to be one with us Jews in one body through Christ, the most important Jew, the world's greatest Jew. But you have to kneel before the Jewish Messiah before you can be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're anti-Semitic, forget it. God is a Jew. Huh? Amen. Now some people claim, you know, well, we got the greatest basketball players, the greatest tap dancers, and the greatest sports figures and things like this, and singers or dancers or so on. Italians claim to have the best singers and all that. But we, Jews, we have God. Okay? He beats them all, right?
Amen.
And you, being reconciled unto the Lord, have the Lord also. So you're a spiritual Israelite. So you can boast now that, you know, you're not the same nationality anymore. You can't be a Jew, a Greek, or anything, you know, of the flesh, or a Greek, or a Norwegian, or a Swede, or a Finn, or a Russian, and get into heaven. You have to become a spiritual Jew. Amen?
Amen.
And you have to be from the tribe of Judah. Because Jesus is the lion from the tribe of Judah. Amen?
Amen.
You have to belong to his tribe. Then what?
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord.
So, and what?
In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Okay, now you want to read my version of this?
A temple for the Lord. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family.
The family that reads the word every day and does what it says. If you're not doing that, then you're no family or no kin to the Lord. How can you be a kin of the Lord if you don't have his Holy Spirit seal on you? Then what? You're not a genuine article, a genuine document from the Lord. We are documents. Okay, then what?
We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy
temple. Yeah, it's a careful plan thing. It's careful. Now, if you're careless, you can never be saved, because you're going to slip up somewhere. The Lord carefully planned this, all this, from before the foundation of the world. Okay, then what?
We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also joined together as part of his dwelling, where God lives by his Spirit.
Okay, now read this again, you know, the whole thing there.
God's plan for our salvation is continued by the sealing work of the Holy Spirit, as an official mark, a document, as being genuine.
From a dignitary, okay, in the world. Then what?
So also a servant of the Lord is deemed to be genuine by the Holy Spirit's work within and outside of us. Guarantees our identity as God's member.
Now, this guarantees to the world that we are one of God's members, that we are a member of the body of Christ, that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Then what? That's a guarantee. God guaranteed that all the things that he promises, he guarantees that it belongs to us if we remain sealed, if we get the infilling of the Holy Spirit every day by the reading of the Word and really carefully reading it so that we know that this is something that we have to do today. This is the day of the Lord. The Lord planned this day. He knew that we were going to be living this day from the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, a long time ago. And so he didn't want us to waste this day. He wanted to work in us this day. And any day that you don't allow the Lord to work in, that's a lost day. And that's chalked up against you at the judgment bar of God. Any minutes or hours that you've wasted, that you didn't allow the Lord to live and work in and through you, you've wasted that time. The Lord says to redeem the time. Don't waste the Lord's time. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
When we place our faith on him, it becomes a reality.
Right. When we do what the Word says, then everything, the Lord becomes real. Man, you can just feel it. And when you talk, people can feel the Lord talking through you. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
God's great love for us gives us great hope.
Yeah, if that love of being sealed by the Holy Spirit gives you hope. Oh my God, I'm saved, right? And that's that makes me have great hope and great faith in that I'm going to be in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That's all I care about. I don't care if I'm the least esteemed in heaven. If I'm just small, blind, and naked, just so I get in. I don't want any part of hell or the lake of fire. All right? Then what?
We get the knowledge of God's love for us to give us this hope through His Word.
Yeah. How could we have the knowledge of this hope if we don't get His Word, the Holy Spirit, every day? We gain the knowledge of Christ through the Word and what He wants us to do. All right, then what?
When we trust in God, we become part of His powerful solution to deal with sin in the world.
Right. This is Tony Alamo. Praise the Lord. We'll be doing, Lord willing, chapter 3 tomorrow.